Stobar Harju is a Finnish director who'll be well known to listeners for his work with Nightwish. Not only did he direct the band's first full-length film, Imaginarium, he also directed their recent video for Noise and the incredibly beautiful video for The Islander. I was really keen to talk to Stobar as soon as I saw the Noise video, but also to investigate how he came to work with Nightwish, how the other projects came about, and so much more. And I was really, really grateful when he accepted my invite to join us. So please enjoy this super special interview with Stobar Harju and the podcast and the Pendulum. Hi there, Stobar. Thank you so much for taking time out of your probably very busy schedule to talk to my podcast. I really appreciate it. I want to dive straight in with Noise because, of course, it's what everyone's talking about and we just did an episode on it. So, firstly, how long did the recording of the Noise video take?
We shot Noise in 2 days, but we prepped the studio in 1 day only before that. And so we had to work with an incredibly fast pace. I mean, if you compare the daily schedule to a movie shoot like Imaginarium, we shot about 4 days of material on those 2 days. Imaginarium is a bad example, though, because we only took like 20 days for a feature that would have normally been shot in 35 or more days. And that's kind of like what's been my challenge forever. I mean, like I always tend to take like really technical things that take longer than a regular shoot. And you know, the thing is that unexperienced crews would not be able to deliver in time, and while there were always hiccups in every single project, it's all about picking it all up. I consider my job to be about 85% of problem solving and trying to figure out how we're going to do this. I mean, I love that stuff. And, you know, fortunately, so do my awesome assistant directors in this project, Karin and Gaia, who are just incredible on handling the days. And, you know, so were the rest of the crew. I mean, like everybody just like tried to pick it up like during those 2 days. I mean, those were very long days.
So where and when did the video recording take place?
We shot everything at Lighthouse or Valofirma Studios in Helsinki. The good point of using quality studios like that is that we get to shoot and do all the camera and light rentals from the same place. You know, that's one of the top studios in Finland to this day.
So if we think about the idea and like the message, shall we say, of the Noise video, was that something that you came up with after hearing the song, or were the band quite involved in that process?
I think I did both, you know. And the band was involved, but like they're never really that heavily involved with the creation process of the video. I guess it's just because of the trust that we have. You know, it's so easy to work with guys like Tuomas. He doesn't usually tell me much. He calls me and says that he sent me an early demo and the lyrics, and he says something like, "I love Black Mirror. Have you seen these two episodes? It would be also cool if the band would be trapped in a virtual reality and that we don't want to do playback." And, you know, that's basically it. I just guess we kind of, you know, tend to trust on each other's intellect so that we don't have to have these endless conversations about stuff, except once, but that wasn't about work at all. Anyway, I enjoy working with his music a lot because he digs deeper and, you know, he amazes me every single time.
So I'm not 100% sure on how much of the new album that you have heard. I don't know if it's just Noise. But I know that myself and lots of the listeners are really, really excited to hear the new album. So if you have, are there any particular songs that you really like the sound of from Human Nature?
Favorites? That question is so tough because I know Nightwish enough to say that it's not about one song ever. It's this sounds like a cliche, but it's about the journey and the entire piece that can run for a length of a feature film, and I love that experience. It always breaks boundaries, feels epic and unreal. Gosh, I mean, you know, there are so many good songs on the album. I mean, I guess I love Noise, but you know, it's basically like it's one work of art, and you know, if I would get to choose, I would do exactly the same thing with it with Imaginarium, where we interpreted the entire album instead of like doing it for just, you know, one song. But you know, so I can't really answer that question.
Well, as the director that has worked with the band quite a bit and a man, dare I say, that we can trust, who do you think is the best actor in Nightwish? Who do you think might challenge for next year's Oscars?
You know, I can only tell you something about everyone because I never rank actors. Everyone has their pros and cons. You know, Floor, for instance, she completely is able to ignore everything around her and loves acting, which makes her amazingly talented. That's usually the case with you know, actors and singers, because they tend to interpret someone else's feelings all the time. It becomes natural to her to feel someone else's shoes. I mean, I wish I had a chance to work with her earlier, and I really hope this wasn't the last time. And you know, that's just Floor. Like she's like completely able to, you know, take the entire stage, or you know, the sound stage in the studio when shooting. So she's amazing. You know, Tuomas, on the other hand, he doesn't necessarily like acting, but no matter what he thinks, he's great at it. Just because he's able to jump into his character immediately and just forgets about that he's this guy from a small village in Finland. He's so positive and curious about everything, and even was going through a feverish flu when I put him in that nasty oil bath. And you know, that's that pretty much tells something about like he's kind of like this devotion to everything that we do every single time. Like with Imaginarium, like you could immediately see that he doesn't necessarily have to like what he's doing, but he just, you know, jumps in anyway, and he's really great at that. Kaitsu, the band drummer, I mean, I worked with him for the first time, and I was really positively surprised on how he took the whole thing. And while I'm always a little skeptical about acting, somebody's acting when performing for the first time, I have to say that I should have planned, I was about to say to get him more screen time, but maybe, you know, some of you have already noticed that Empu and Kai, they get more screen time on the video than everyone else. Seriously, are you surprised? Yeah, well, I mean, that's true. I mean, I'm not just going to reveal any more than that, because, you know, it's just like kind of something that, like, when probably getting this comment, you probably realize that they are in, you know, more places than one. So, you know, that's the truth. I mean, they get more screen time. And by the way, they were really great at it. Then who did I talk about so far? I talked about Floor, Tuomas and Kai, and you know, well, I mean, I did mention Empu, and speaking of him, I always tend to plan a little less for Empu, although I know the fans love him. And as he has a great like stage presence. But while knowing him, and you know, and as extremely polite as the dude is, I mean, he doesn't seem to enjoy the cameras or you know, like directors like me that much. So I kind of read him in a way like I like to you know, respect him enough, you know, not to put him like in tough situations. So in this case, like I just you know, made a bunch of people, you know, beat him to pulp, and you know, and that was easy, like, because like getting your butt kicked in a film is always the easiest task. Then we have, of course, like we have Troy. I mean, Troy loves art. We had an insane conversation about his role as the king, and he sent me a message saying something like, when I mentioned the word king for the first time, I mean, he said, Stobe, if I fly to Helsinki and find myself having to wear an Elvis Presley jumpsuit, I'm going to decapitate you with a teaspoon or something like that. I just remember telling him that that's such an English thing to say, and that your Elvis spandex is waiting for you when you get to Helsinki. So, yeah, I mean, seriously speaking, though, Troy always had questions about his outfits, especially in the Islander video back in the day. But in Imaginarium, he loved the magician's outfit so much that, you know, some of us ended up buying it for him from the production. I guess he still pays his bills wearing it, or something like that. But, you know, the purple coat that we had for him, and the hat and everything. Either way, Troy will always be my kind of like go-to guy for the weirdest roles in the band. I mean, he's that good. And then, of course, you know, we have Marco. How can I ever work with him again and leave that devilish metal grin away? I mean, Marco is actually one of the talents who come in being incredibly neutral. But, you know, once the cameras roll, he puts on his game face and scares the living shit out of everyone. He always makes me go, whoa, and then puts on his neutral face back on. I mean, I mean, the guy is just like, he's a natural. And you know, he's just so heavy metal, you know, in everything that he does. Like he doesn't, he kind of has this on and off switch that's just like switched on instantly when he does his thing.
Ah, so it's something of a revelation where Kai and Enfu are concerned. So I will scrap my question about any extras in the video and see if people come to that same conclusion. When I had the opportunity to talk to you, one of the things I noticed was that you posted about after the Islander, you said you wouldn't do any other music videos. So what was it about Noise that made you change your mind?
I guess, you know, I had so many choices after the Islander video, doing other things. And I also felt like I can't top this, as the Islander was the biggest video in the Finnish history of music videos. So I guess, you know, I kind of like wanted to change my perspective completely. And, you know, Tuomas and I, we've been in touch since we made Imaginarium. And I kind of hinted that I enjoyed working with him so much that I'd love to do that again. And, you know, he kind of did the same thing, but we never actually talked about music videos because I guess just like, videos are basically commercials for the songs unless you do them right. I think I even expressed my interest on having him compose the soundtrack for my next movie. And, you know, we never really got back to talking about videos. Other than, you know, we neither one of us didn't want to make another video again. But you know, apparently the rest of the band did. So they called me, Tuomas called me last spring and started very cautiously. He said something like, we have a new album coming in and I was wondering if we could do something cool for the first single. And we met at Hotel Helka Bar in Helsinki and we had a drink and catched up on each other's point of views on social media and the digital revolution and so on. And you know, I guess I wasn't even thinking about it, but was excited to work with my friend more than on a music video, so I didn't really care what we were supposed to work on together. So that's eventually became, you know, Noise, and I'm really happy that we did that.
Well, we're all very glad that you agreed to do Noise as well. But does that mean now that Noise is going to be the last music video that you're going to produce, or are you a bit more hesitant now to write them off altogether?
Someone told me never to say never. I know for a fact that I will probably not say never to Nightwish. It's tough to say, but I know that I enjoyed every second of it. So why not direct another one if, you know, the time is right, if the artist is right, and the song just you know, gets under my skin with its message and everything. And of course, you know, the song has to be good. That's the most important criteria. But to be honest, I'd rather think of myself focusing on, you know, stories. Like, you know, Noise has a story. My other videos, like Carnival of Rust, has a story. The Islander has a story. You know, it's all about that to me.
I don't want to go too deep into the video because I do think it should stay open to interpretation for different people. But I was really interested if you could talk a little bit about, you know, the scene with the lip injections, I think it was. What was the thinking behind that and how did it fit with the theme? Was it some comment on beauty standards, for example?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, it's definitely not a critique to beauty standards. Look, I'm whitening my teeth. I have several friends in various professions dealing with cosmetic improvements. If I were to criticize what people do with their looks, it would be the same thing as to say tattoos are bad or even working out is bad. You know, it's not about that. And, you know, Jessica Edström, who played in the video, is an actual Instagram model herself. I had a conversation with her about the ideals she wanted to uphold, and I asked her if she was okay with this. And she replied to me perfectly, saying that she felt confident the viewers would get a glimpse of the downsides of her work and just, you know, see how much it required to be portrayed as a beauty ideal these days. It's hard work, and she wanted the people to see that. You know, any other work in the world has those pros and cons. Her self-irony led her to take this role, and I have become her biggest fan because of that. You know, Tuomas and I are both close to being tree huggers and probably even known for that. But, you know, thinking about it, do we really put nature first in everything we do? No, we don't. And we have to take the responsibility over that and admit that while, you know, we're trying, we always fall short for what is easy and what's hard. And I think the same goes with everything, you know, in this video. And I'm not getting any deeper into that because the message is quite clear. And, you know, that's it.
Whilst we're talking about interpretations, I did want to ask your opinion on something. So I've seen quite a few people who are taking the message of the video as almost a overarching critique on all kind of technology and media. And when for me, it feels a lot more nuanced, like it feels like a warning to use in moderation. You know, it's not saying that technology is inherently bad, but what What do you feel when people kind of oversimplify the message of the video in that way?
No, I don't consider noise being a critique to anything except for what the society has become, and you know how we ignore the beauty around us and focus on the same things we see every day over and over again. You know what I'm trying to say on the video is that we and I'm meaning Night Vision myself are you know, we're all guilty. It's just how things are now, today. I mean, I just had a conversation with my eldest about a math assignment, and I asked her about the distances and let her name a town that was about 30 kilometers away from our house. And yeah, she named a town that was 500 kilometers away. And I realized it wasn't her fault. I mean, she wasn't being ignorant or anything. You know, when we were kids sitting on the backseat of our parents' car, we looked out of the window going, are we there yet? And, you know, while looking at all the road signs telling us how much further until we got home, we never missed a thing. You know, kids nowadays, they have their faces in their cells while they could ignore the most beautiful sunset while looking out. Or the most beautiful scenery and you know, the world around them, around that car. And it's not their fault. I mean, our society tends to wash away everything around us and you know, claim that all the facts are on our devices, but it's not so. But that's just humanity. I mean, caring for one another and being able to see the world for what it is, you know, are the things that can be found in the virtual reality. We encounter a lot of false messages, but we never stop to think about the flip side of those messages. I mean, what if? That's the question I want to ask. But like I said, we're all guilty, including myself, but I wish to understand why I become that way.
So what about your personal opinion on the video then? So are there any particular scenes that you are really proud of?
I'm actually thinking about that very hard now, and I don't really think that I look at my work that way. In fact, I haven't watched the video since we completed it, and I probably should. Then again, it took me 2 years to watch Imaginarium again. And I was asked the same question about the movie. I couldn't answer that either. But what I did was to answer what I enjoyed the most while filming. I guess it was Marianne's and Joanna's chemistry on set while doing Jem and Anne. On noise, I think the most fun I had with Tuomas and his oil bath, as I, you know, thought we had complications. I mean, we'd had complications, but then we didn't because everyone prepped it so well. On the other hand, I think I enjoyed every scene. You know, I just wished we had more time. I love shooting and I hate it at the same time. So, no, not really. I mean, I really don't have a favorite scene from the video because I always look at the entire thing as a single piece, and it's kind of like tough to say what scene is you know, going above the rest.
Okay, so before we move on to talk about Imaginarium, the Islander and other stuff you've been working on, I really just want to say how much I love the noise video. For me, it's probably my favorite Night Wish video so far. There's so many really striking images in it. The scene in the bathtub where Thomas is head banging, that always plays in my head during my favorite part of the song. And there's just so much to unpack, like you can watch it over and over and still find new details and such. So yeah, I just wanted to let you know that not only myself, but so many people really, really love the video.
Oh, wow, thanks, Simon. I mean, obviously I feel incredibly flattered, but at the same time, I think that so many directors have worked with Night Wish over the years, and everyone always wants to put their best effort into making their clips. I mean, I think it's easy to say that I have the edge over everyone else because I think I know the band so well. I know where to draw the line to get the most out of them, and maybe the best part is that they challenge me every single time, and I know how competitive I am. More importantly, though, I had a chance to work with my number one Finnish team again, and I never ever thought about giving you guys a poor attempt when it, was the hardest clip we ever had to shoot. I mean, the team always gives me confidence. We trust on each other, and we're all proud of the work that we're doing. So, it's basically a huge relief that we got everything to work as well as we could within the time and within the budget and everything. And so, I am really touched by the like all the feedback that I've received so far. I mean, thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. So if we can move the topic towards the Imaginarium film for a little bit. So let's just ask quite a broad question, but how do you feel now looking back on it? Were you happy with the outcome of the film?
It's probably the first time I'm able to talk about this publicly. I was incredibly pleased with the outcome. I mean, of course, it's my movie, but not necessarily pleased with the process. At times it was very painful. Not because of the band or the story or the movie making itself, but because of the all surrounding politics. At the point where it wasn't really the band's movie anymore, I fought my fiercest battles, and there were so many of them. But if it wasn't for Markus Selin, Tuomas, and myself, you had seen a completely different kind of movie. The last 6 months of the production, and after seeing a version in the screening, I got the recut rights back, and me and my incredible editor friend Matthew Belanger made the most of the time we had to make that recut. I became the producer for the last few months, and I had to cut the old VFX crew and had to put some of the production staff aside to finish the film as well as we could. I mean, I even had to tell people I liked to step aside. It's nasty business, but I thought it really made me stronger than ever. I also gained, many lifelong friends who helped me overcome the process. I mean, there was Matthew, the editor, of course, Benoit Bouliot, the DP and a producer, Marianne, the new VFX supervisor, JF Ferland. They all supported me, the band, and our vision to make this movie the best it can be. Again, I wished I had more time, but it was really a Cinderella story of how that movie came to be, and it all makes me really proud. That's actually all I can say.
No, I appreciate your honesty, to be honest. I don't know too much myself about the film industry, so it's really interesting to hear what has happened kind of behind the scenes before this all came to our screens, I guess. I think I know the answer to this next question, but I have it written down, so I will ask you anyway. But do you have any favourite scenes from the Imaginarium film? I know you said you don't really think about your work in that way when we spoke about noise, but for me, it's definitely the roller coaster scene. I find it really adrenalizing and the music fits so well.
Again, no. Sorry, but I love to work with Marianne Farley and Joanna Noyes on their scenes. There's something very strong about the relationship between an ignored daughter and the singer, who probably had more intimate moments with Thomas, James' father, than she ever did. In that kind of chemistry, you has that fragility, the bitterness and the you know, then comes the retaliation and all of that. Like that was present in all of those scenes, and these two incredible actors got it right from day one. And you know, I also enjoyed working with the band so much every single time they were on board, because they mostly had to do the stuff that they're doing regularly on stage, and even, you know, in front of you know, multiple cameras and all of that, and they just like get in there and they do their job so well. And even with Tuomas, when it comes to the acting, I mean, he was completely able to let it all go and, you know, just be a completely different kind of person than what he really is. Like, this is not a like Imaginarium is not an autobiography of anyone. It's about how I kind of interpreted the songs with the songs that Tuomas and the rest of the band made. And you know, that's it. That's just a story between a father and a daughter. So that's again, like, hard to pick scenes from that movie.
So you've touched on it a little bit already in the previous question, but another question that I had noted down was to talk about the struggles that you faced during the Imaginarium project. So is there anything more you wanted to talk about in that respect?
I lived in Montreal, Canada, for almost 2 years of my life, and away from my family in Finland, because of the budgetary limitations that I myself had to approve. You know, it was my call, and I made it because I wanted to make this low-budget movie as good as possible. It was incredibly tough to deal with the long-distance fatherhood and marriage. I had to have a completely new life for a while in Canada. Fortunately, you know, I was able to make great friends who knew exactly what my situation was, and they supported me until the end. Janne, Toxic Angel, Pitkänen became one of my best friends during that time, even though he was in Finland. But you know, he's an idol like I am, and as he was awake, we had these hours long Skype calls until the morning to keep me sane. I owe this guy I, you know, owe my life practically. You know, on the other hand, you have to understand that I believe a good director dies in every single tough production, but then is reborn on the next. I did that every single day. I died every night after shoots, realizing that I'm not getting everything shot that I wanted, but I got everything shot that I needed. So that made me die a little bit every single night. But then on the next morning, I woke up reborn, and but you know, those are choices I made myself. No one else was involved. I wanted this movie to be as great as possible, and it's never easy, but I can't really go further, as you know, it wouldn't be fair because of because, you know, in like there were so many struggles that if I started with all of them, like, it sounded like making this movie was, you know, total pain. But that's the reason you make the movies, is because you know that you're gonna struggle, and you know that you're facing huge challenges. But if you're able to conquer that mountain, then when you're standing at the top, it's the, you know, the greatest feeling ever.
I know that myself and a lot of other fans were really excited to see the band in the movie itself. So were there any more band scenes that were planned that were cut or anything like that?
Oh, there were many scenes that were cut because of the budgetary issues. Yeah, we had massive scene planned for Ghost River song, for example, that had to go because we couldn't afford it. It was a mutual decision, however, and we all agreed that a few of the most ambitious scenes had to be cut. Everyone knows that instead of a $50 million film, we had to settle for 4.3 million. So that's something that happens in every single movie project. You write the script and kind of imagine the best and the most ambitious movie imaginable, but then you end up cutting because of the realities. And that's completely normal, and that's what happened to us. But I'm very convinced that we have every of the best scenes in the movie right now. So that makes me happy.
The band's sound, of course, is still very much a part of the soundtrack, particularly the Imaginarium tracks, like you mentioned, Ghost River, Arabesque, etc. But was it the case that these songs were already pre-arranged in this soundtrack style before the filming, or did they come afterwards?
Petri Alanko is one of my all-time best friends and a musical genius. Before the production even started, I convinced Tuomas to take Petri to reorchestrate all the songs on the album in so that we could get a proper soundtrack that would support the drama. After hearing Petri's work on Alan Wake, Tuomas agreed. And I guess that was even before the production because it happened on the plane to Cannes when we were flying there to seek for a funding. Anyway, Petri started immediately and he basically tore all the Nightwish tracks apart and kept working during the entire project. And while we were shooting, he was figuring out all the thousands of tracks and demoing versions of the songs to both Tuomas and myself. So my answer is that the soundtrack was being worked on alongside Imaginarium, and I loved what Tuomas and Petri had come up with. On a personal note, I found elements in the songs I never thought existed until Petri retouched the tracks. I call this the kind of like the merger of maestros. Yeah, so basically I really hope that answers your question. It was really done like a traditional soundtrack. It was worked on alongside the film, even though the album was done already. So we had to wait for Petri to do his job.
So it's dawned on me we kind of got this far, and if we can rewind completely back to the start, how did you first come to work with Nightwish and work on, I think, The Islander was the first thing you did together?
The first song I probably heard from Nightwish was "Dead to the World," and it became one of my favorite songs. I'm incredibly ashamed to admit, but I didn't care for Nightwish before that very much. But when Once came out, I totally fell in love with the Ghost Love score. I had just done two bigger videos released back then, but I was courageous enough to call up Evo, the band manager, and ask him for a lunch. So he agreed, and we went to this crappy Chinese restaurant right next to their office in Helsinki, and I presented my plans. When Evo saw them, he asked me pretty directly how much. I realized I was basically going over budget in the project quite heavily, and he told me that they're not interested. But my God, what a clip that would have been. I mean, like thinking of 10 minutes of something that would have been incredibly nice. But either way, I mean, Poets of the Fall Carnival of Rust was selected as the best Finnish music video of all time. Yeah. People started to listen, and I got listen to me, I mean, and I started getting a lot of calls. One was from Lapland, Ilkka Immonen. I didn't take it seriously before. He said, "We have a lot of money coming coming from the county, and we're hoping you'd find a known artist to direct a video for here in Lapland." I'm like that. Yeah, I never leave anything undone. And I felt like I wanted to show that I could direct a great video for anyone, including Nightwish. So my call to Evo again, and I almost got hung up until I blabbed out, "There's funding." And I got some money for this, and I think I was laughed at. I get it now. I mean, like, if a director says something like that, it sounds like he's willing to pay to make a video for an artist. So I pretty much explained myself. I managed to do that eventually, and I got called to a meeting next week, and Evo greeted me downstairs of their offices, and we got up there, and he just walked away and pointed me to a meeting room at the back. The entire office was so smoky. Everyone, smoked a ton back then. Tuomas was there, in fact. Like, he greeted me in the meeting room, and then I was like super surprised that he was there from the get-go. And we introduced each other, as I didn't even you have to know something about Tuomas. Like, he is always so polite. Like, he introduced himself like I didn't even know who he was, even though everybody knows who Tuomas is. The funny thing is that, like, Tuomas knew every single project that I've ever worked on, pretty much. And, he had really done his research on me and my work. And we sat down, and he said he wants to do a video for a song on Dark Passion Play, and it was already out. The entire album was out. So to myself, I basically begged that it would be The Islander. I mean, like, please let it be The Islander. And then that song started playing. I love that moment, and that's where our mutual journey kind of started. And yeah, I really cherish that moment.
Well, I do know as well that other than music videos, you've also done some album art. So I saw a album cover you did for Poets of the Fall. So I really wanted to ask you what you think about Nightwish's album covers, and do you have a personal favorite?
I adore all of Janne's work for Nightwish, and I'm seriously biased to say, but Imaginarium has the most magical covers of all. It's the perfect premise for a step into Wonderland. And Janne Toxic Angel Pitkänen, who does all the cover art for Night, which he just gets under my skin every single time he presents something new. So but still, to this day, I feel like Imaginarium is definitely one of my all-time favorites, including the album booklet. And, like, everything that's inside the booklets, it's so vividly, it's part of the motion picture, but yet it's going to another direction that takes it a little further. So it's almost like separating from the story a bit, in a great way. It's the same, but yet so different. So I love Imaginarium album covers very much.
No, I agree. I remember when I first saw the Imaginarium artwork in the expanded booklet, and I thought it was incredible. Like, the level of detail is, it's really just so impressive. What I do realize as well, in that because you're working maybe so closely with bands like Nightwish and Poets of the Fall, maybe I have some kind of assumption about the music that you're into, but what kind of music do you like outside of the artists that you've collaborated with?
I'm really boring, you know. I mean, I usually listen to whatever my kids listen because they ride in my car. But when I'm riding, I'm collecting my own playlists, soundtracks, jazz, metal, and even trance. It all depends on the mood that I'm in, you know. So you could say that I am pretty much fan of every kind of music out there. So there isn't a single genre I can really name. So that makes me really boring, I'm sorry to say.
Not at all, that's not boring. I very much think that people should be more open to different genres. There's no point in really restricting yourself. And with like genre crossovers these days as well, yeah, it's a lot easier to expose yourself to new kind of music. Thinking about that question then, and also your role as director, are there any artists that you would love to do a music video for?
I was asked by Björk, you know. My treatment was a little heavy-handed, but I adore her. I'd work with her any given day, and you know, since I already talked about my ambitions, if I missed something previously, I usually want to take my time to jump into that again and try again. So Björk would definitely be one. There are several artists out there that I really adore, and of course, I would love to direct another video for Nightwish again in the near future, if that would only be possible. But you know, that's what I just did. So next person, next artist on my list would be Björk.
No way, I love Bjork as well. I think her music is so, it can be really hard to get into sometimes, but she's an extremely creative and talented person. But I did spot that we've gone back to Nightwish again. So I do want to ask if realistically we're likely to see any more videos from the Human Nature album with you as director.
Realistically, no. But Tuomas seems to be full of surprises these days. Seriously though, I never jump into anything he's not on par with, especially when talking about their music. Within a production, I make a lot of proposals, but that's about it. Like, we haven't talked about anything else except for noise, but you never know. We both have plans, and those plans, they kind of go along with the fact that, like, okay, so let's put it this way. Like, if you buy a lot of the album, let's say it's the, you know, the most sold album of the year, then probably yes, there is a need for another thing that we might do together. But like, yeah, realistically, I think it's all about what is needed. So at this time, I really, really don't know.
When I was preparing these questions for you, I did have a little look on sites like IMDb to look at other projects that you've worked on or you're working on, and I did see an entry for a film that looked quite interesting called Variant. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what the rest of the year looks like for you?
Oh wow, you really gotten into bottom of this, haven't you? Well, I mean, Variant. First of all, Variant is not in production yet. We're still rewriting. There is there is a lot of interest in going into that, but we just realized that we have a story in our hands that needs to be worked on a little bit more until we can basically shop it. So we're in the last phases of rewriting, and with Variant, I even got to work with my friend James Halpern, one of the producers of Battlestar Galactica. That dude is a big fan of Nightwish, by the way. Anyway, my producer friend Benoit Bouliot introduced me to Albert Melamed, another producer who wanted to show me some new material, and originally Variant was at the bottom of my pile of screenplays because it was a story about a family man, and this is written by a 24-year-old guy, Julian Verscoris, And that's why, like, he's so young that I didn't have high expectations until I read it. It's a beautifully crafted sci-fi thriller that really digs into serious subjects, and I loved it. But we wanted to touch some of it with James, and the writer Julian was tied up with other projects, so we took Kyle Alexander Smith on board, and he's finishing up as we speak, and hopefully we get something big news later this year. Sorry, Simon, for not letting you know much about this at this stage, but like it's that's usually how things go. We don't make a big fuss about it until we really have something, and Variant just happens to be one of the projects I'm working on that's on IMDb. Quite frankly, majority of the projects will not be mentioned on IMDb, and Variant just happens to be one of them. But anyway, I'm glad you asked, because it's another thing where I mentioned that I have plans, and it's hopefully a great future project.
Okay, so we spoke a little bit about the future, and I'm going to completely flip this on its head. And to close out our chat, I wanted to talk to you about the very first project you did with Nightwish, which, as we mentioned earlier, was The Islander. So, how did you come across the man that plays the Islander, and what was the process like in getting him on board?
The old guy, the actor, his name is Hannu. An incredible gentleman I worked with earlier on a commercial film production, and he was the very first actor who came to my mind as I had seen the Islander album booklet page, where you have this guy who's almost an identical twin to Hannu. So I didn't have to find him, really. It was pretty much dictated by fate, I guess.
And how about the treatment of the video in general? Was that something that came from you or from the band?
Tuomas's briefing was as inspiring as always. He says it's a story of an old lighthouse keeper who has nothing left, and he travels to the sea and throws an anchor into the water. He always tells me the basics, but he never really wants to get into specifics, and I love that. He usually trusts my instinct, and he wants my vision. Just because of, like, I think, we have this kind of like outside of the box thinking that when you get an inspiration from somebody else, or you get it, let's put it this way, if you get like a finished screenplay from somebody, someone else can never make it as good as you can. So this is how Tuomas thinks, pretty much. He wants his songs to inspire people, and that's exactly what he does with me. So he just told me to think of, something cool, and I came up with the rocky sea and the flying ships and the family and the ghost family and all of that. And I think he called my treatment an insane LSD trip. I wasn't sure if it was positive, or like at first. Anyway, that's how the Islander came about. So it's basically like, it's me getting inspired of Tuomas's music. That's how it came to be.
One of the reasons I really love the Islander video is that it, a lot like Nightwish's music, it kind of treads the tightrope between reality and imagination. And yeah, I think that comes across really well. But how much of the video was live filming and how much of it was post-editing?
I think the balance is around 50-50 on VFX and live action, but I can't really say for sure. It's impossible. But We had just shot in the most beautiful location imaginable, Lapland, Finland, on a devil's field full of rocks as far as the eye can carry. And people thought I was insane, and because the footage was so pretty, but I still wanted to keep working on the horizons and the skies, and of course, putting some flying ships. I've always said this, and I will say it again. If I'm making a film about flying cows on the surface of the moon, and you can show me a location with flying cows on a surface that looks like the moon, I'll be there and add no VFX to it. This is what I have to say to filmmakers with vision. Never leave work undone while it's satisfactory. It'll never be finished in your eyes, but you're still taking the audience away from planet Earth. I'm still doing it to this day, and probably until I die. So, that's something that takes every single production, every single film, every single story all the way that I'm doing. And I just still, even while doing that, don't feel satisfied at all.
Okay, so I've reached the end of my questions. So the only thing left to say is thank you so much for taking the time. I know that I found this really interesting, and I know a lot of fellow listeners and Nightwish fans will too. So yeah, thank you so much, and fingers crossed from me that we do get to see another video with you and Nightwish in the future.
Thank you so much, Simon. Thank you.
The Podcast and the Pendulum is a fan-run podcast that is not affiliated with Nightwish, Nuclear Blast, Trakkar, Spine Farm Records, or any associated companies. We post a new episode every Wednesday. Please do subscribe on however you listen to your podcasts.